Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website. Now, John, look, we've talked a bit about it already today, and I think everybody sees all the red on the screen. Doesn't matter really what sector you're looking at or what market you're looking at. We have a lot of selling again. And look, we just had an interview with Ed Moya, who said a lot of that is due to, or he thinks due to, China. The other side of that argument is also the fact that we are now expecting more Fed rate hikes, and more in terms of a higher degree of Fed rate hikes here. The 25 basis point hike seems like it's off the table, and now the Fed has really warned us that 50 basis point hikes are coming. The thing is, the markets are now pricing in a 75 basis point hike next meeting, which is just next week. John, what do you take away from this, again, trend? And it's not just in the U.S. of higher rates coming from the central banks.
Hey, Corey. Hey, Shad. Well, there's a lot going on right now because, yes, inflation is really high. I mean, it's on the official reading of it, it's getting close to double-digit rates, which is a major crisis, no matter how you slice it. And the Fed is talking tough, like it recognizes that it can't let inflation expectations spin out of control. So it's got to at least convince at least some people in the market that it intends to do whatever it has to do in order to slow down the rate of inflation and bring it back down to, remember when the target was 2%? They've got to try to get back down there somehow. So yeah, like you said, inflationary expectations are up. The expectation of interest rate increases is about as high as it's been, you know, in recent memory, for sure. And that's impacting the markets. So the question is this just another taper tantrum? Because we've been through taper tantrums several times in the last decade and a half, where the Fed starts to tighten, the financial markets tank, the Fed panics and backs off. Or is this a different animal because inflation is so high that the Fed is unable to back off when the stock market starts tanking? And if that's the case, then it's not clear where the Fed put is, what the number is on, for instance, the S&P 500 that would force them to change course. So this could be a lot more chaotic than a typical taper tantrum. But who knows? There's so much going on out there. You know, you mentioned China. China hardly gets any press other than the COVID craziness that's going on there. But that's a very big deal for global supply chains. If you're going to lock down major Chinese cities, which include ports and things and microchip plants, then the supply chains, which are already stressed, they were already in trouble in a lot of cases, they get that much harder to manage, and it gets that much harder to produce anything anywhere in the world because you're missing a component that comes from China or from Russia and Ukraine or whatever. So the world is incredibly messy. And I don't think you can make a short-term prediction right now. There are a lot of them out there, but I wouldn't feel comfortable saying really anything about the next 6 months because so many different things can happen that can totally change the picture one way or the other.
Yeah, John, it's not just one narrative that's driving things. Like for a while, we just had monetary policy narrative, or then we had the Ukraine narrative. The Ukraine situation is still ongoing. The China lockdowns is ongoing, and it doesn't just affect the supply chain. It also affects commodity consumption. But then you have growth expectations souring from where they were a year ago to where they are now. Looking forward, people are not as optimistic about growth, not just in the US, but globally. And so you've got a Fed tightening cycle, but you also have all the other central banks that are also tightening. So if there's not one key narrative or even two or three narratives, there's multiple narratives going on. Do you think that's why so many people are kind of piling into cash? Because the one thing we are seeing go up is the dollar.
Yeah. It's funny. We're running 8 to 12% inflation in the US and the dollar is going up. But when we say the dollar is going up, it's really important to define what that means, because obviously if there's double-digit inflation, the dollar's value is dropping by that rate. That's what the inflation rate is. It's the decline in the value of the dollar. But relative to other currencies, so when we say the dollar's up, we're talking about how it's doing versus the yen and the euro and the Swiss franc and pound sterling. And against those guys, it's doing okay. You know, the yen and the euro in particular are really getting whacked because they have country and region specific problems that are perceived to be more serious than what the US has. So people are buying dollars with their yen and with their euros, and that's pushing the value of the dollar up relative to those currencies. But, you know, we got to keep in mind all of these currencies are losing value at an accelerating rate right now. So there really is no fiat currency out there, with the possible exception of the ruble, that is actually legitimately stable. Which, you know, that's another moving part. You can't even define terms very accurately out there because there are so many different ways of looking at things, and some of which are kind of good on the surface and some of which are horrendous, and it's hard to add them all up. So, you know, when we say the dollar is strong, that's all we're saying, is that it's doing better than these other crappy fiat currencies. It is not a strong currency. It's falling at a double-digit rate right now, which is the highest inflation rate we've seen in the last 20 years. So it's actually doing very badly relative to just objective measurement and to its recent history.
So, John, what about that environment, though, that is driving the dollar higher in terms of the U.S. seeming to do better exiting COVID or those COVID lockdowns, still having higher rates in terms of market and in terms of bonds compared to other countries around the world? And again, there seems to be money flowing in from other countries into the U.S. So all of this does actually lead to that whole aspect of, well, maybe the U.S. currency is one of the better ones out there right now.
Well, relatively speaking, yeah. But it's relative to a lot of incredibly badly run currencies. Remember, the Europe and Japan have the Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank running their monetary policy, and they're both just absolutely crazy. I mean, they've been engineering negative interest rates for their respective governments for years now, and historians are going to look back on negative interest rates as a form of mass psychosis, or at least mass delusion. So yeah, the fact that the Fed has not engineered negative interest rates in the U.S. has kept the dollar somewhat strong compared to those other currencies, but we're still screwing up. You know, we're still making epic mistakes in the U.S. that will eventually blow up the financial system. It's just that it could be that Japan or Europe blow up first, you know, and in which case, you know, if Europe is collapsing monetarily, then in relative terms, we are in great shape, but we aren't in good shape. We're just in good shape compared to somebody who's even sicker. And, you know, that'll all come to light eventually, because real stuff will continue to go up in value over time. You know, it might not be a straight shot from here to 3 years from now with commodities, for instance. But over time, real things will come to be valued more than financial things. And the countries that have the strongest base in commodities will tend to have the strongest currencies. In other words, the term commodity currency is starting to be bandied about a little bit right now, and it'll become more of a household term as time goes on, when we start to focus on, you know, what are your stockpiles of real stuff? How much gold do you have in your treasury? And what do you have in the ground there? You know, do you have rare earth elements available in your own territory, or do you have to buy it from China? You know, there are going to be questions like that that will impact currencies in the future. And in which case, Japan and Europe are in even worse shape, because they really don't have much in the way of natural resources. They have to get it from somewhere. And part of the problem with the euro right now is that a big part of Europe's energy comes from Russia. And so the Europeans are kind of paralyzed. They're angry about the Ukraine invasion, but they don't feel like they can cut off their nose to spite their face by sanctioning Russia energy, because they're desperate to have that gas, you know, and stuff like that is going to start playing a bigger and bigger part in calculations about relative currency valuations. And it's not going to look good for a lot of countries, and they know it. So that's just one more big problem that they've got to deal with going forward.
Well, John, I think you make a great point about the commodities becoming the currencies of the future. We've heard that from a lot of our guests, and even seen that in a lot of financial articles, that it's not just a commodity super cycle, but that they actually are the currencies that countries and nations will use to trade amongst each other. And those that are well endowed with different commodities or agricultural products will have an advantage over those that don't, that have to import everything. So it's a great point. But one of the commodities, or I guess you could say one of the monetary metals, gold, you would expect it to maybe do a little bit better because of all the chaos we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing all of the different financial monetary chaos, but we're still seeing ongoing war. We're still seeing shutdowns. We're still seeing tensions amongst other countries. So What is your take on gold right now and the precious metal? How do you think it's holding up, all things considered?
Well, until 2 days ago, I would have said it's holding up great. You know, it's right near 2,000 in the U.S., and that's a pretty high price historically for gold. So it's doing its job. But lately, if you're looking at gold, you've had to weigh some different factors. One is, yes, like you said, chaos. The world is in chaos. That's awesome for precious metals, so you want to load up on them. On the other hand, interest rates are spiking in the face of possibly slowing growth. So we could have central bank overreaction to recent inflation leading to a big recession next year, which would be generally bad for precious metals. You know, recession with plunging rates of inflation and maybe even some deflation out there is not an environment where you really need precious metals necessarily. So maybe there's some selling going on because of that, because suddenly we might get that big Fed interest rate increase in the face of a slowing economy, which they're not measuring correctly yet. And so the second half of this year turns out to be very different from the first half of this year. And maybe you take some profits in precious metals because of that. And so we're seeing something like that happening today. And there really isn't any way to know how far that goes, because we don't know where the Fed put is in this kind of an inflationary environment. We don't know the point at which they're going to step in and start reliquefying the system. See, if we knew that, then we could just put our lowball bids in for gold and silver in the mining stocks at that level and do fine. But we can't know that, in part because this is new territory. We haven't had asset bubbles and raging inflation at the same time in recent memory. And so the Fed is behaving, you know, it's having to act or to react to things that it's never had to react to. And the second factor is that the Fed is just basically a bunch of morons. You know, you can't count on them to even do the rational thing, because, you know, they're basically these Ivy League guys who've never had to work in markets. You know, they're the Federal Reserve in the U.S. The most direct experience most of these guys have with free markets is the insider trading they do on their policy decisions. So they just have no idea what they're supposed to be doing, because their models are fatally flawed. They don't understand economics to begin with. So we can't count on them to even be rational. So there's absolutely no way to know how this plays out. You know, we'll know in retrospect, we'll look at everything and go, oh yeah, when this happened, we should have done, you know, okay. But heading into it, there's no way to know any of this. So personally, what I'm doing is, you know, I've raised some cash lately and I'm kind of looking at where to nibble back in now, but I'm doing it very cautiously by, for instance, writing puts and things on the big gold and silver miners and, you know, getting in prospectively at a much lower price from here if they tank from here. But I don't know if that price is going to be a good price in retrospect, because we can't know how far this thing goes. It's all part of the excitement of managing your own money, right? There's a good reason to jump out of bed every day and see what crazy stuff happened the night before.
Yeah, well, John, we'll see where we're going here. But this whole environment, higher inflation and the Fed fighting inflation, now very different than what we saw years and years ago. But hey, that is a symptom of creating all this money, and especially after COVID, when a lot of money was created in a very short period of time. And it was put into the markets, I guess, and into the economy. And now we're seeing what happens after that comes. But who knows what the Fed's going to do? And as much as people hate on the Fed, they still hold a very heavy hand in these markets. And they do still have a lot of different tools that it sounds like they might be using this year. We'll see if we get that recession next year, and we'll see how the markets handle this. But so far, the last 2.5 days of trading, they've been pretty tough. John, thank you for your time. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Great. Thanks, guys.